When you read the book of 1 John, you find in there, he says that anyone who says that Christ has not come into this world is an antichrist. We live in a world where far the majority of the people in the world do not believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh to this earth. Therefore, the Bible says they are antichrist. They are against Christ. But you know, we can go to the church and be against him too. We can say that we know him, that we walk with him, and that certainly we have some kind of relationship with him, but our lives don't show it. And I think that in the day we're living right now, in the moments of time we're living, how he needs to be seen in us. How he needs to be advertised, we'll call it that. In a lifestyle of godliness, in a lifestyle of power, in a lifestyle of service. God needs us to proclaim what we say we believe from our hearts. But that's hard, isn't it? That's hard when everything's going good. It's not easy to always walk perfect. Jesus said something here. He said that there was a door. Now, we all know what a door is. A door can do a lot of things. I can remember whenever you didn't have to shut the doors at night, you could leave your screen door open. You didn't have to hook it. You just pulled the door open and let the cool breeze come in. But now, you wouldn't dare do that. Times have changed. Doors have different meanings. Doors have different purposes. Wanda and I were looking at some of the doors here at the church, and we said, man, those things really need to be replaced. They really need to be replaced. They are rusty. They are pulling apart. We need to do something with these doors. And so we done the next best thing of going and buying them since I weren't able to hang them. And we got us a screwdriver, and we got us a drill, and we got us some screws, and we went to work putting them doors back together. Because they had a purpose. And we did not want that purpose to be weakened because of them failing. Doors have different purposes. Some are for your safety. Some are to seclude you. Some are used to identify you. So rooms have a lot, or doors have a lot of purpose. There used to be a song they sung, nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. God has set in place a door. And it's a door that we can travel through. It's a door that we can go. It's a door that we choose to enter. In this room, there's, three doors. Four over there. That when service is over, you can say, well, I'm going home. And you can go out of any of the four doors. Your choice, which one you go. See, God always leaves the free will of man, the free will of man. But he is always beckoning us to come. So he has set a door for us. A door of truth and a door that is false. But how the false door at times is able to be more attractive to us than the true door. Because the true door demands surrender. And the false door demands achievement. Two different things. And God says, there's one way. So what is the purpose of this? Jesus said, my sheep. Notice he said, my sheep knows my voice. I don't know if all animals do that. I know our pets know their names. We used to tell Sugar says, it's bedtime. Go get in your bed. She'd jump right down off the couch. She'd run in the washroom, go in her little sleep area. All we had to say is, sugar, it's time for bed. She knew what we were talking about. You call her name and she come. So pets can hear things. Jesus said, my sheep knows my voice. But the sheep he's talking about are not bad sheep. Everybody just say bad. Get that out of your system, all right? I ain't talking about, nobody here is going to shear you, okay? They are strange animals. They are cute as a button, but they are strange. And I've never had a flock of them, so I don't know for sure, but they say they have not very good sense. I know one thing because I've seen enough cowboy shows to know this. You put them out on the plains where the cows are, the steers are, and where they're trying to a cattle ranch, and you put sheep out there, and there's always a war. Because the sheep will eat everything. Keep that head down. They'll eat everything there, grass, flowers, and the root of the flower, of the grass. And nothing will grow. I've seen too many cowboy shows to know that that's not true. Because if you see them, you know they're true. So, they eat, they have no direction, they don't know what's going, they have to have someone to follow. Now they say in the days, times of Jesus, that these shepherds with the large flocks knew each sheep by name. People need to know his sheep. People used to ask me, how in the world do you learn everybody's name so fast and their children and everything? I said, well, I don't know, but I try to learn their names. But this morning I forgot mine, to tell you the truth. We are known by God. Now let me ask you something. If he was to step in this door right now, not looking like Jesus, looking like a bomb. And he called our names. Would we hear him? Would we follow him? Would we identify him, although he looks sort of shabby, would we identify him as Christ? That if I follow him, he's the door. See, the door they're talking about is a door into the fold. Into the fold. See, they had a community corral, if you would. But when they were away from the area where they lived, they had to find somehow to take care of those sheep. And they would take somewhere, they'd look for a ravine or some cave where it was protected on three sides and the shepherd, which translates also to the word pastor. Their shepherd. Lead them in and would lay at the entrance to the place. Why did he do that? He did that for the same reason we lock our doors at night. To keep thieves and beasts away from them. To keep them safe. To keep them secure. That's why he done that. See, he was willing to put his life on the line so he could lay in the doorway and protect his sheep. That remind you of anyone? I remember when I was little, you never heard of things like murder. You just didn't hear it in your neighborhood. And I can remember some of those times when something would happen that would be tragic, out of the ordinary. I remember Daddy, because we didn't have locks on the windows. He would go around, and he had to cut a board, put it in the window where the window couldn't be raised. And we felt so safe. When you're 3 or 4 years old, I mean, that to you know, now I see, oh, what I had to do is break the window and still get in. But when you're little, here's what you're thinking. Oh, my daddy's a smart man. He knows how to stop those people from coming in. He's keeping us safe. So we have to look at what that is. What does the shepherd do? Daddy, the shepherd of the flock at the Lee house, protected. He wanted to make sure that all of his children, at one time there was five of us and four foster kids. You ever lived in a house with, we had so many bunk beds in the house. We looked like a Marine Corps barrack, tell you the truth, what we looked like. But Daddy could keep us safe. We didn't have to worry. But you know, if we don't know this door here, and we don't come in through him, we face a lot of fears in life. And I guarantee you this, someone who's trying to work their way into heaven, not just trusting him, not just saying his death on the cross was enough, not just saying because he rose from the dead proved he was the Son of God, just because he rose from the dead and ascended back up into heaven, that's no reason to think that my salvation is secure. That's poor thinking. That's what that is. What did he do by calling himself the door? He gave us a place that was secure, a place that we could be sure of, because we hear his voice. And his voice, we answer. Listen, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." He said, "I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish." Never. Someone told me one time, said, "Well, you can get your own self out of it." I said, "How? He just said that you would never perish. That means that you will always be his. Just like I'm always Damon. I can never take the name Damon Rayleigh Sr. because my daddy had that. He kept that name. He didn't let me have that part." So, I want to tell you some things about the I am. When Jesus said, "I am the door," he used the same exact words that God used from the burning bush. What he was doing was identifying him as deity. When he said the bread, he said, "Listen, the bread of life is sent down from God. I am the bread of life." Moses didn't give that to you. We don't give ourselves eternal life. I don't give anybody eternal life. I cannot do one thing for you other than proclaim the word of God and pray for you and hopefully lead you. That's what I can do. But salvation is of the Lord. That's where we have to look at. So a true shepherd, also a true pastor, is a man who is in love with the sheep. There's some things I want to share with you about the true one. The one that's really, really the shepherd. You know, people preach for all different reasons. Some preach, I've seen so many people over these 35 years or so that when you get saved, they would say, "Well, God's called me to preach." I tell everybody, run as fast as you can. Try to get away from that. If you can do anything other than that and be happy, hit the door. But if you can't, you better line up with him. And I guarantee you, that's a true fact. Because if you are called, you cannot run but so long. If he calls your name, you can't run but just so far. Now, he's not going to make you believe. But he knows if you will believe. All right? A true shepherd enters in at the appropriate gate. In other words, what we're saying is a true shepherd sees the big picture. And his concern is not popularity so much. I would like to be liked by everybody. I tell you, over these 30 years or so, there's a lot of people that I think chose not to like. But with him, see, when we come in through him, the gate, the real gate, the true shepherd, when we get through him, we're coming through the true pastor, shepherd of the sheep. He knows their hearts. He knows their ways. He knows that he is the one who will lead them and guide them. He comes and takes up an abode within us. Lives within us. His spirit enters us. That's always amazing to me. How a God so great can hold his creation in his hand and yet live in the heart of man. And I don't mean the heart that's pumping. I mean the very soul of man. The very being of man. Now just imagine that. God's just got done throwing the stars in space. And he says, Damon, isn't that amazing? That is amazing to me. A true shepherd's purpose is to be the shepherd of God's sheep. Jesus, I'm telling you, just before he left, he said, I must go away. It's expedient for me to go away, and if I go, I can't send the comforter to you. But when I go, I'm going to send him, and he's not only going to be with you, he's going to be in you and around you. And he's going to teach you, he's going to lead you to all things, all truth. That's what we have. And he come into this world, and he done what he had to do so to buy and purchase each one of his sheep that the Father had given him. And there was our hope. The true shepherd leads, loves, and lets. He leads because he goes by the Word of God. He teaches the Word of God. I was looking at that show I was telling you about this morning. And they would ask them questions. And some of the guys, it sounded like they knew what they were talking about. Some of them, they just didn't know what they were talking about. And I thought to myself, you know, there are people who say they're Christians, and they don't really know what it's like. Don't really know what it's like. Don't really know him. See, when you look at things, and I've got this tendency of doing this. The shepherd does the shepherding because of love. Because of love. And they're not greedy. I'm talking about the true one. They're not greedy. They don't do it for filthy lucre's sake. I know one of the richest men in the country is almost a billionaire from the gospel. I wonder sometimes where our heart is. But the true shepherd is not afraid, is not afraid. He will fight every battle for us. And he knows exactly what we need. He knows the strength we need, and he knows the encouragement that we need. And I tell you what, whenever you get at the very bottom of the row, he is there waiting for you. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And he's always willing to take our hand and lead us, to help us be what we should be. He knows our desires. He knows our wants. He knows our hurts. Isaiah said, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he has formed thee. O Israel, fear not, for he has redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine." He will never, ever, ever, ever forsake you. Now, we might forsake him, but he will never forsake us. And wherever we go, whatever we do, see, he don't live here. He don't live here. He lives here. This is not his temple. His temple comes here to worship together. His temple is in you and in me. And we have to be careful, because he has taken up abode within us, that this is the temple of God, and we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Because everywhere we go, the Spirit of God is with us, no matter what we're doing. And then the true shepherd leads the shepherds and the sheep. I tell you, there has been times when you had to really, really get on your face before God. What is the direction that we need to go? In all the, I guess in the last 110, 20 years, we've never had to, have not had to face something like what the world's facing now. I believe we'll see more and more of that when it gets closer to us coming, which this might be the beginning of it. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. But when we get to that place, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. He can lead you. Now, it's sort of like, do you meet now? Like this? Do we take the wall down? Do we spread out? Do we do drive by church or drive in church? To keep people safe, to keep people that are worried about their health. You have to ask God a lot of things. What does the people need? The one thing I know, that when we started, God had just burnt that into me. When this first started, you know what I worried about? I worried about people that would get it. What about people that would get it? I said, I want to keep our church safe, but I want to meet the spiritual needs of our people. Sometimes those things don't match. Sometimes they're completely different. But I asked God, what do we do? I think he orchestrated it perfectly. I think we come in, of course he did, he sent the heat to get us out of the field. Drove four or five of us into the air conditioning. We said, thank you, Lord. But when the time was right, we come back. Who could? But we still have folks that have not been back, and we miss them so bad. But you know what? God, when the time is right, God will give us the answers that we need to everything. He is a true shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. No, there'll be nothing that we need. He'll lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Praise God. He is the door that if we walk in, our security is in him and not in ourselves. It's not in a denomination. I've said this a million times. It is in what thus saith the word of God. Let me tell you this story. I love this story. Let me tell you again. I've probably told it 5,000 times. Nicodemus, one of the greatest leaders of the Jewish religion. He was perfect in every way that you can think of. Here comes Jesus along. Jesus is healing, doing marvelous things. The lame is walking. The blind is seeing. The dumb are talking. The dead are being raised. Nicodemus knew something was different. He came to Jesus and said, who are you? Because you've got to be from God, because no man can do these things. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, let me give you the NIV. Nicodemus, aren't you a leader? Aren't you a leader of the Jews? Aren't you the man that knows everything? Jesus said, don't be amazed when I say you must be born again. Nicodemus said, what am I going to do? I'm a grown man. Can I go back into my mother's womb? Right here Jesus said, no, I'm the door. I'm the door. He said, how can I be born again? This next one just blew my mind. Jesus said, just as the serpent was lifted up in the desert, so shall it be like the same when the Son of Man is lifted up. They looked upon that brass snake, and they believed that they did, that they would be healed. And you know what? Wherever they were bitten at, if they looked at that brass snake, guess what happened? They were immediately healed. The ones who did not look upon it, they died. Jesus lifted up. Whoever will look upon him, the dying Savior, the bread of life, the door to enter by. They just look and believe the Son of God has bought my soul. That's what it is. Not by works. It's by faith. Just plain old faith, and let me tell you what faith will bring along with it. It'll bring along some good works. You cannot separate the two. But the two, you can't get one before the other. Because if you get the works before the faith, guess what? It don't work. He is the door to the sheep. He is the one that brings them in. And last, Jesus is the only door that leads to abundant life. See, we got several doors here we can go out and we still get abundant. El Cerro Grande. We can get all that we want. We can go out any door and be happy. for abundant life, for your life to be filled with joy, for your life to be filled with assurance, for your life to be filled with leadership, for your life to be filled with service. We must come through the door. Jesus is the door. Well, how do we do that? Isn't there something you got to do? Don't you have to do some kind of ritual? Isn't there something that you got to pay, something you got to do? No. Faith. And that is a gift of God. Faith. And when you believe it with all your heart and you see Him as paying the price for your sins, I'm telling you, you cannot resist Him. You might run for a while, but you won't resist Him. He knows His sheep, they know Him, and He's calling our name this morning. He's calling our name saying, come and serve. Come and show. Come and follow Me. And He'll make you a fisher of men. God has given us a way. Won't you take it? Won't you take this? Faith is all it is. Faith. And listen to me. I believe that church is so important to us. I believe that just he died for the church. In other words, those that he got the church, and all of you guys out here has got a gift. Got a gift. I don't know what your gift is. You should know what the gift is, but he's given us all something so that we might exhort the church. So that when we come together, when we do things together, there is somebody has that gift. See, the preacher don't know everything. Sometimes, most of the time, most shepherds trust their people or their sheep because they don't know everything. I'll say that. But if the Son of God makes you free, guess what? You're free indeed. What a Savior. What a door. Take door number Jesus. You'll be a winner. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You.